Let's turn to the scriptures, to Galatians chapter 2. If you don't have a Bible, look over to your neighbors. I saw the stewards going around earlier with some. It's page 1169. And verse 10 is the verse I want us to just focus on tonight. And it simply says this: all they asked — this is Paul recording his conversation with James and Peter and John — all they asked was that we should continue to remember the poor, the very thing I was eager to do. Do you want to just read that with me? All they asked was that we should continue to remember the poor, the very thing I was eager to do. Now, you just need to get some of the context here. And so I want to just read from verse 6. As Paul is trying to talk something of the importance of the gospel and the work he was involved in, and this is very different than the work that some of those who were ministering to the Jews were involved in. He says in verse 6 about going up to Jerusalem: as for those who seem to be important, whatever they were makes no difference to me. Galatians 2:6. God does not judge by external appearances. Good little reminder of that. Those men added nothing to my message. On the contrary, they saw that I had been entrusted with the task of preaching the gospel to the Gentiles, just as Peter had been to the Jews. For God, who was at work in the ministry of Peter as an apostle to the Jews, was also at work in my ministry as an apostle to the Gentiles. James, Peter, and John, those reputed to be pillars, gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship. When they recognized the grace given to me, they agreed that we should go to the Gentiles and they to the Jews. All they asked was that we should continue to remember the poor, the very thing I was eager to do. And so, Father, pray now, come open our eyes to wonderful things in your words. Lord, reveal things in our heart and reveal things on your heart, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I wonder if we can just do a quick brainstorm together. So this is a bit of participation. I'd love you just to tell me 10 names of people alive today who are rich and famous. Can you just do that? Can you just shout out some names? Anyone know? Anyone rich and famous? Bill Gates. Thank you, Aid. Anyone else? David Beckham. Richard Branson. Elton John. Duke of Westminster. Who? Oprah Winfrey, yeah. Anyone else? The Queen? Mark Zuckerberg, very wealthy. Anyone else? Richard Branson. Now you've got twice now. Richard Branson must be very wealthy. Okay, lots. Warren Buffett, there you go. Okay, now, same challenge. Just 10 poor folks who are famous.
What is the reason?
Living.
Oh, right.
Just 5 poor, famous people who are alive today. Just 2. Come on, guys. Just give me 1 famous person who's alive today. Rich and famous, poor and forgotten. That's our world. It's our world, isn't it? Rich and famous, poor and forgotten. And so when the Apostle Paul is receiving this wonderful good news of a gospel of grace, a gospel that means that you and I don't have to keep the law, a gospel that says, you know, it's not about keeping any kind of do's or don'ts, and that's causing a bit of a stir in the Jewish church, and they meet at this council in Jerusalem. In Acts 15, you can read about it. We studied it in the morning series a while back. As he's doing that, and as he records that encounter here, he just actually highlights this one thing. Remember this, that they said. Remember the poor. Remember the poor in a world which forgets the poor. Remember the poor. And for Paul, in fact, This is the context of which we were speaking about this morning, that the particular call from James and Peter and John there in the church in Jerusalem was particularly remember the poor in Jerusalem. The poor in Jerusalem had gone through some very difficult times. In fact, there was famine that had been prophesied that then came, and the church was facing some difficulties, so there were extra opposition that came, and so there were quite a number of poor in Jerusalem. And so this is a call to Paul and Barnabas, as you're going throughout this sort of area of the Greek-Roman world, remember the poor in Jerusalem. And so as they went around, they would encourage like the church in Macedonia and the church in Corinth and the church in other places to give to the poor. And I want to ask tonight, why? Why is this thing in this setting where there was so much kind of in the book of Galatians as well, where there's so much about grace, so much about the gospel setting us free to almost as it were to not have to keep the law. Why this one thing? And it's not that this one thing is excluded from grace. No, this one thing is a hallmark of grace. This amazing hallmark of the grace of God. So why remember the poor? That's the question I've got for us tonight. And I want to say this. Remember the poor because God does. Can you say that with me? Remember the poor because God does. You know what? God knows the name of every single poor person on this planet. Now, he knows your name too, but he knows the name of all of them. He remembers them. My daughter and I were just talking about this over this afternoon. I was telling her what I was going to be preaching on, and we were just talking about, does God think rich people or poor people are more important? We talk like you about how magazines, the newspapers, the books, our world knows the poor people, the rich people a lot better. So what about God? My daughter very wisely said, well, God thinks we're all important, but he's got a special place in his heart for the poor. You read scriptures and that's spot on. God has a special place in his heart for the poor. Look with me at Psalm 35, verse 10. We have it up here on the screen, I think. Thanks, John. Psalm 35, verse 10 says this. My whole being will exclaim, who is like you, O Lord? You rescue the poor from those too strong for them, the poor and needy from those who rob them. God in the Psalms is so often portrayed as this one who's concerned and thinking about the poor. Or what about Psalm 140 verse 12? That says, if you just flip on a bit to Psalm 140 verse 12, I know that Lord secures justice for the poor and upholds the cause of the needy. God is a God who's concerned about the poor. He hears their cries. I love that picture of the bucket going down as the poor cry out to God, and they often do it more than the rich. God hears their cry. So remember the poor because God does. And I want us to see then as we continue on in this passage that there's something about this remembering the poor that kind of is not just in God's sort of action, but it's in his very character. God, when he reveals himself in Exodus to Moses, he says, I am the Lord, compassionate and gracious God. He's a God who's full of compassion. And then he goes on to talk of his justice as well as his grace. So as we go through this, I think we're going to see some of these characteristics of God come through in not just what we see about God remembering the poor, but here's the next thing I want us to see, that you and I need to remember the poor, not just because God does, though that would be simply reason enough, but because we need to remember the poor because of what we have from them. And that's a justice issue. You and I need to remember the poor because of what you and I have from the poor. Now, interestingly, back in Galatians 2:10, one of the things that Peter, James, and John were keen for Paul and Barnabas to remember and to remind the Gentiles of their roots. that the gospel had come from the Jewish Christians. They were the ones who'd sent out the gospel message, and that was where the roots were. And so they wanted this connection to be there, that those who were benefiting from the gospel in other places and from it going out didn't neglect to remember the poor in Jerusalem who had been the ones who initially had received that message and passed it on. So you can see that sense of, for Paul, there was this sense of remember the poor because of what you have from them. You have this gospel message. You have this wonderful thing from them. And actually, I think for John and for John and James and Peter in that church in Jerusalem, it's going to be quite important, these gifts from the Gentile church to help against these Judaizers who were trying to bring legalism into the church. The same way, I think that's one of the reasons Paul is so much fired up to say to these other Gentile believers, look, come on, you know, let's give to these folks so that they can see that what God has done in our lives is a real thing. But here's the thing in our world today. Yes, remembering our roots, remembering where it all comes from. I wonder, do you realize how much of what you have, how much of what we have, comes because we have it from the sweat or the oppression or the abuse of poor people? Now, we live in such a mixed up capitalistic free market, which isn't free. Free market often means unfair market. That's why you need fair trade labels, because free trade is not fair trade. Free trade is get what you can from those who you can get it from. And so maybe even just in what we're wearing, what we have at home, or maybe the businesses that we work for that have maybe over recent, you know, years, decades, what they've benefited from has actually come the loss of poor people around the world. Certainly that's true of us as a nation. I don't know if you've watched any of these empire programs. The wealth of this nation largely built on what has been taken from people around the world. This is a justice issue, folks. Why is it you're here in this privileged place and situation and so many around the world are not? Well, that's something you and I are called by God to try and remember. Remember the poor because of what you have for them. God is a God who longs for us to be people of justice. Amazing how often in the Proverbs this comes through. The writer of the Proverbs saying, hey guys, you need to remember not to oppress the poor, but to be kind to the poor, because there's a justice issue going on here. Have we got some of those Proverbs on the screen there, John? Read these ones out with me as they come up on the screen. Proverbs 31, 8 and 9, I think, are up there. Well, this is 9:17. Let's go with this one. Okay, either one of those. Let's do this one first. 9:17. Can you call this out with me, everyone? Whoever is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will reward them for what they need. And then we'll hold on to the other one. I'll just turn, actually, to Proverbs 31, 8 and 9, which I'm not sure that we do have that one on the screen. Looking back at my notes here. And Proverbs 31, 8 and 9 says this. Right at the end of the book of Proverbs, I remember Phil saying to me one time how this verse had really challenged him. And he said this, speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of all who are destitute, speak up and judge fairly, defend the rights of the poor and the needy. Hey, so that's one of the reasons why we're locally, we're doing things like CAP. We're saying, come on, we want to be those who don't just let these folks who are in big debt, some of the poorest in our city, be just those who are being trodden on by those who would get credit from them, by the people who would come and try and take that stuff away from them by force. No, we're going to come and protect them, and we're going to defend the rights of those. We're going to speak up for the poor. And in the same in around the world, there are more slaves in the world from the Dalit community in India than any other people group around the world. Huge, huge, huge issue amongst Dalits in India. And so again, that need for us to remember the poor because of what we have from the poor, that issue of justice. But the next thing I want us to see is remember the poor because of what you can give to the poor. Yes, there are things that we've had them, and there's a justice issue here. But you know, there's a compassion, kindness issue here as well. Remember the poor because of what you can give to the poor. And this is this clear call that we were looking at this morning to be those that are generous, those that are thinking of the poor, not just in a kind of, oh yeah, I remember there are the poor people in the world, but who are stirred by that. So when Paul gets told, remember the poor, by John and James, what does that lead to? That leads him to go to these places and challenge them about their giving. Because this remember the poor has almost implied within it this heart of generosity and kindness. And so those Proverbs that we looked at, Proverbs 9:17, but Proverbs 14:31 is another great proverb that brings this out. It says this: he who oppresses the poor shows contempt for their maker, but whoever is kind to the needy honors God. Who's kind to the needy honors God. And so there's something about the remembering the poor that enables us to honor God, enables us to be kind and compassionate and generous. What a thrill. You know, that's to imitate God. That's what we're called to be. You know, be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children. What a wonderful picture we have there. So, remember the poor. Why? Because God does. And then remember the poor because of what you have from the poor. That's the justice issue. Because of what you can give to the poor. That's a kindness issue. And then here, this wonderful thing. Because of what you can learn from the poor. Because of what you can learn from the poor. This is a humility thing. It just is so humbling to come and see what they have in the Lord. The Christians there are so rich, rich in faith, rich in contentment, rich in humility. Isn't it funny how riches so often lead us to pride, to put our trust in things rather than in God? We have tons to learn from the poor. I think materialism is one of the biggest things that's suffocating the church, not only in the West, but actually in urban centers around the world. I think until we learn what it is really to be missionaries in urban centers, to be missionaries in a materialistic culture, we're not going to make big inroads. Because materialism is such a killer of faith. So we need to remember the poor, remember what we can learn from the poor. So, amazing, this need for us to allow our lives to be challenged by others from very different cultures. I think one of the things that I find really helpful about this time when we're thinking about the world in a more focused way as a church, leading up to our World Gift Day on May the 13th, when we're hoping in this kind of being generous to those in need. And one of the big things you can read in the your updates and inside is one of our priorities is the poorest of the poor. In fact, about 30% of our giving on that gift day will go to those who are poor around the world. That's a huge part of what I love that we can do that. But you know, just remembering the poor in this time does us good too. And like for me, as I'm preparing this talk, I'm remembering the guy who drove us around in, his name was, he wasn't wealthy, but he was a man of faith. And when I got talking and I said, hey, will you pray for me? And for us in the UK, we need your prayers. He said, yes, we definitely will. When I gather for prayer with my family at 5 a.m., we will remember to pray for you. Have we got things we could learn from that family about prayer? Absolutely. Because they've got faith. They've seen God answer prayers and provide for their needs. And you know, one of the things that we need to keep being willing to be allowing God is to break our hearts as we see some of the needs in around us. You know, that fruit keeping with repentance is spot on. I picked up this book just off the shelf actually this afternoon. It's Roy Hessian, Calvary Road. It's a great book if you've never read it. But the reason I picked it up off the shelf is I knew that Roy Hessian was greatly impacted by the East Africa revival, a revival that didn't start with the missionaries, it started with the Africans in East Africa. And let me just read you from page one of chapter one. He says this: we want to be very simple in this matter of revival. Revival is the life of the Lord Jesus poured into human hearts. Jesus is always victorious. In heaven, they praise him continually for his victory. Whatever may be our experience of failure and barrenness, he is never defeated. His power is boundless, and we, on our part, have only to get into a right relationship with him. Then we shall see his power being demonstrated in our hearts and lives and service, and his victorious life will fill us and overflow through us to others. That is the essence of revival. And you're thinking, reading it, thinking, this is a great book, loving it already. That's what I want. And so he continues. If, however, we are to come into this right relationship with him, the first thing we must learn is that our will must be broken to his will. To be broken is the beginning of revival. It is painful, it is humiliating, but it is the only way. It is being not I, but Christ, and a sea is a bent I. The Lord Jesus cannot live in us fully or reveal himself through us until the proud self within is broken. The poor got a head start on us on this, folks. That's why revivals so often break out amongst the poor. And that's why you can pray for revival, you can long for revival, but until you and I are willing to recognize our brokenness and our need, even in our have-it-all culture, we're not going to see revival. And the chances are we're most likely to see revival in the city when we get serious about reaching those who are most vulnerable and most weak and poorest in our city. So what? Why remember the poor? Well, because of what you have for them, because of what you can give to them, because of what you can learn from them, humility. And I just had another one, which I think we managed to squeeze on. This wasn't there in my original notes, but just as I was praying about it, I realized it there. Because of what we have in common with them. Because of what we have in common with the poor, this is the whole issue of identification. You know, it's amazing, isn't it, that you go and meet people who are brothers and sisters in Christ. And this is, again, part of the Galatians 2 thing, I think, is saying, look, it doesn't matter whether you're a Gentile Christian or a Jewish Christian. Hey, remember the poor, because there's some connection you've got with them. That you're brothers and sisters in Christ. If you're in Christ, they're your brothers and sisters in Christ. And I don't know this guy's name because we didn't have a translator. We went to this pipe village, and there was hardly anyone around. This old guy, he's going to be Mr. Old Guy, who didn't have hardly anything. He came in and he prayed for us and we prayed for him and for the community. And the only thing I think we could really understand about each other was that we were going to have the same home forever. Me and this man were going to spend eternity in the same place. My home could not be more different from his home, but we have so much in common. Isn't that wonderful? And it gives me good just to remember that. And the amazing thing actually is when you look at even not just the Christian church, but mankind in general, we have a shared humanity. Shared fears. Shared big questions in life. We have so much in common. And the amazing thing about God is that God, in humility, and this is where I want us to kind of touch down, as it were, the amazing thing is that God not just remembers the poor, he identifies himself with the poor. Why remember the poor? Because Jesus became poor. Jesus became poor. And I hope you're remembering Jesus daily. One of the reasons I didn't say, go on, tell me some, famous poor people from the ages back, because I thought you would just go, oh, Jesus, and Apostle Paul, or, hey, Jesus became poor. He was born in a stable, laid in a manger. Said this morning, as he went through life, as we saw in 2 Corinthians 8, though he was rich, amazingly wealthy, yet for our sakes he became poor, so that we through his poverty, it actually uses the word poverty, might become rich. In fact, Jesus, when he's had a disciple wanting to come and follow him, he says, hey, hang on a minute, because the Son of Man, he says, foxes have holes and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. That was Jesus' experience in life. Yeah, borrowed a donkey, borrowed a table to eat with his disciples, borrowed a tomb, left on a cross, and I was very struck by this actually. It didn't go into it all in the Good Friday service. It didn't somehow feel appropriate, but I don't know if you've read the crucifixion accounts. It's pretty clear that Jesus didn't just have a sort of undergarment on, because they were casting lots to see who got the undergarment. He was naked. Naked and nailed to a cross. Do you remember how Paul writes in Philippians and says, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant. He humbled himself, became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Remember the poor. Remember the poor because your Savior and my Savior, the Savior of the world, God himself became poor for us. Yes, to bring justice. Yes, to show kindness. Yes, with unbelievable humility. Yes, to identify himself with sinners and the poor. And yes, to save. So we don't give to the poor so that we can go, ha, oh, did that. Look at me, what a great person. Because that's not going to save you, folks. We are far too much in need of a Savior already. No, we remember the poor because the God we worship and love and adore, he remembers the poor. He knows their names. He died for them. And he is calling his followers. Calling his followers to live a life like he lives. And you can't get away from that. The fact that that is costly, the fact that that will probably mean if we're to follow in his path, that we receive his riches, but our poverty goes up. You know, these people, Francis of Assisi, you know, Mother Teresa, you know, even some of these amazing preachers of old, you know, John Wycliffe, who translated the Bible into English. We often remember him for that. But actually, one of the big things that John Wycliffe did as well was mobilize a bunch of lay people to go out and minister to the poor in England. Amazing what people have given up, suffered, and died. But they've got eternity, riches in heaven forever and ever. So friends, think again tonight. Think again of where your trust is, where your confidence is. Think again of all you have in the gospel and allow God to move you. Move you for the city, the needy and the broken in our city. Move you for the nations. One of the things I can't help but think about some of our missionaries who've gone out for this place. You know, it's a very costly thing that they've done, giving up jobs, giving up homes, giving up so much of the living with uncertainty, having to trust God for their finances. I want to just honor them tonight. Honor those who've gone to try and help.
Father, we do thank you for the amazing thing you are doing in Lord, it's revival-like. And Lord, we just think of others who've spoken in this place and just testified of struggling to keep pace with what you're doing. Father, we praise you. We praise you that you remember. You know them. You had a heart for them that has led to all that's happened around them. And Lord, to us even praying for them tonight, thank you, God. And Father, we would pray for more. We pray that you would continue to work. We realize that just there are many, many more like them. Lord, young girls caught in sex trade, young boys, and sort of oppression and slavery. And Father, we just would cry out, have mercy, Lord, have mercy. Father, we pray for discernment in our living in this capitalistic, Western, materialistic world. God, please, would you give us discernment in our buying, discernment in our giving, discernment in our praying. Lord, we were just sung earlier, Lord, more love, more power, more of you in our lives. Well, we can't help but recognize, Lord, that the more love is probably crucial to the more power. Lord, we just say, please come by your Spirit. We humble ourselves again, Lord. We recognize just dependence on other things other than you and say, Lord Jesus, we want to trust you completely. We want to learn a fresh contentment. We want to learn afresh to love others in a way which is willing to cost us, Lord. We want to look again to Jesus and his amazing grace. So Lord, please, would you, risen Jesus, just come minister to us as a congregation. Come and again, Father, speak by your Son, through your Spirit, to us here. Lord, may that eye be bent so that the sea, the Christ, is seen in us, I pray. So, Father, to you be all the glory, all the praise. Lord, this is your world. You are at work. Thank you that your throne of justice will bring all things and make all things right and wipe away every tear. Thank you for in the Pipe Village, Lord, who I'm going to spend eternity with, Lord. And I just would say, Lord, we long for heaven. We long for that day when we're gathered round our throne. So many brothers and sisters whose names we're looking forward to getting to know and remember, and Lord, to worshiping you together for all eternity. So God, Lord, may we make the most of these days, I pray, Lord. May we allow our lives to be, as Paul talked about his life, as a poured out drink offering to you. Lord, so we offer you our all again tonight, and we just say, please, God, come, fill us, fill us, fill us. We just keep needing more of you, that we might then be able to pour out grace, love, generosity, service to others. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you are all we need. Thank you that you are that just immense bucket. Grace is sufficient, Lord. Thank you. We just pull it up again. Hallelujah. All God's people said, amen.